You can take out your notes that we have, continuing this series, The Christian Atheist, and I'm really excited about what I get to preach on today. I'm going to talk about the love of God, and I know that's a subject that's hard to even get our minds and wrap our minds around, but I really hope today that somehow, some way, in a new way for some of you, or in a renewed way for a lot of us, you will be absolutely saturated and soaked in God's love. I had this image of just kind of standing under a waterfall, and that waterfall is just coming down right up top of you. And may you experience God's love in that way today, the waterfall of God's love. I'm hoping for that. Now, today what we're talking about is this series, The Christian Atheist, Believing in God, but Living Like We Don't, Like God Doesn't Exist. And today we're going to tackle this this problem or this idea. I do believe in God, but sometimes I have a hard time really believing that He loves me, or I have a hard time grasping that God loves me. And I think really our culture, life has trained us to think that love is temporary and love is conditional. And it reminds me of the story I heard the other day of a young girl who was in love with her boyfriend, and she had this beautiful framed picture of herself. And on the back of that framed picture, she wrote, "I love you with all of my heart. I am yours forever. Love, Ashley." Now, with that unconditional commitment that she made was a postscript on the back of that picture, and it said, "P.S. If we break up, I want the picture back because it's the only one I have." Sometimes we feel, just because of life and our culture, that love is conditional, that it's temporary, that it's not permanent. We almost feel sometimes that God's love is sort of like the little games that little girls play with a daisy, and they pull the petals off. You know how that goes. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. If I'm having a good day, God, you must really love me today. If things are going well, like I really want them to, God, you must really, really love me. And when things aren't going well, we're tempted to believe, God, maybe you don't love me so much today. Or maybe, God, I'm not even on your radar today. And we can sometimes play that game even with God, because life conditions us to believe that love is temporary, that love is conditional. But God's love is nothing like that. God's love is unchanging. God's love is permanent. I had an experience this week that left me feeling like God loved me so much. I went to the DMV. Have you ever been to the DMV? Yes. Not a good experience normally, and I was already preparing myself for the worst because I had Nolan with me and he was sick that day. I said, "Nolan, bring a book. We're going to be here all afternoon. It's going to be bad." And as I was approaching the DMV, I started breaking out in a sweat and getting real nervous, remembering my last trip there. I got the ticket from the wrong side, and I waited in a line really long, and I was in the wrong line. The lady announced that I was in the wrong line in front of 50 people that were waiting there. I mean, it was bad, and I had all these flashbacks. I'm thinking, this is going to be bad, real bad. And I walked into that place. And as soon as I walked in, there was a woman sitting on the right-hand side behind the counter. And she said, "Hello, Pastor Russ. Good to see you. How are you doing?" And I must have looked like a deer in headlights. My eyes got this big. I was not expecting that. And unfortunately, I couldn't remember her name, but she knew who I was, asked how I was, the church, the family. And I thought, this is amazing, completely unexpected. And then right in front of me was a reception table with a young lady who was there, who was just so helpful. And I gave her my information, my picture card, and she made sure I got the right ticket. I thought, this is unbelievable. God, you must love me today. God, you love me today. This is amazing. And then as I was sitting down, I heard number 62, and I looked at my ticket, and I couldn't believe this. Guess what? My number was 63. I was never, ever next in line, ever. And as soon as I just sat down, I heard the number 63, and I got up, and I went up to this wonderful woman who had the glow of Jesus on her. And she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Great." She said, "This will be quick." I said, "Really? Sit down." I took a picture, and she said, "Now have a seat, and I'll be right with you." As soon as I just sat down, she went like this and said, "Okay, your license is ready. And I went back and I signed. I looked at my watch. I was in the DMV for under 5 minutes. I want to tell you, in 35 years, I never went to the DMV and was under 5 minutes in that place. Unbelievable. I came out of there and I said, God, you must love me. Oh, God, you love me today. This is a great day. God loves me. Whew. Have you ever had those days when good things happen and you think, oh, God must really love me. God, you love me so much today. But then when we have bad days, because our mind and our society conditions us to believe that God's love is conditional, we have a bad day and we go, God, where are you? God, you must not love me today. Here's what I want you to understand so deeply today, that God's love is not like that at all. God's love is permanent. God's love is unchanging. God's love is unconditional for you. Listen, we all know what the Bible says, 1 John 4:8. God is, say it with me, love. God is love. Now, what that means is amazing, is that love is not just something that God does, but love is who he is. It's his nature. It's his essence. It's who he is. God loves you. God does not pick and choose who he loves. Why? Because he can't. Because God is love. It's his nature. It's its essence. It's who he is. It's not just something that he does, but it's who he is. And the reality is simply this. The reason why you are breathing today alive on planet Earth is that you have been created by your loving God creator as an object of his love. He loves you so much. Now, I want to talk about this. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And these verses just elevate this truth. Now, I want to read through this with you together. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, long ago, even before he made the world. Let's pause for a moment and think about this. Before the universe was created, God loved you and God chose you. That is amazing. That means the reason why God made the universe is so that he can make the earth. And the reason he made the earth is so he can make human beings. And the reason he made human beings is so that he can make you, because he loves you and you are an object of God's love. Now listen, long ago before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. This is amazing. Before the universe was created, however, whatever you believe about how old the universe is, before the universe was even created, God had you in mind. That God loved you and God planned you. He planned your birth. He planned your conception. He saw you in your mother's womb. He was there when you breathed your first breath, when you cried for the very first time. God was there. He's been through there with you all through the thick and thin and the pain and the struggle and the good times and the bad times in your life. God created you as an object of love because he just loves you. God wanted a family forever, a forever family. God created you because he loves you. It's always been his unchanging plan to adopt you into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And I love this. It gave him great pleasure. It pleases the heart of God so much because he loves you so much. Now, on your outline, I want you to understand something very important. This is really the main key here. And if there's one thing I want you to get this today as we talk about God's love. The primary purpose of my life is to be loved by God. Write that in, please. The primary purpose of your life is to be loved by God. Listen, your primary purpose is not to do something for God. Your primary purpose is not to serve, it's not to give, it's not to pray, it's not even to obey. Your primary purpose is not to do something, but your primary purpose, listen, is to receive something from God. Your primary purpose is to receive God's love for your life. That's it. Before God says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, before I serve, before I give, before I pray, before I do good deeds, before I do all of those things, and all of those things are good. But listen, the primary purpose for you and me, the primary purpose that God has for our lives is just simply to allow God to love you. Your primary purpose is not to do something, But your primary purpose is to receive something and to be a recipient of God's perfect, unconditional, unchanging love for your life. Now, I know that's difficult for us to get our minds around, isn't it? Have you heard maybe 100 times, 100,000 times that God loves you? You've said it yourself, God loves you. And we know it up here, but we really don't fully, I don't think, experience that in our hearts to understand the reason why you're breathing, the reason why you're here. First and foremost, God has work and things for you to do. Certainly, yes. But the primary purpose, the primary reason, the first calling of your life is to simply allow God to love you, to be loved by God. Wow. Boy, if we really, really, truly understood and believed that, how our lives could completely change on a day-to-day basis. That you are simply an object of God's love. And God first and foremost created you for the primary purpose, the primary foundational purpose, simply to be loved by Him. I want that to sink in. There's verses all over the Bible that talk really about this. I'll look at a couple real quick in Jude chapter 1, verse 1. This letter's from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. And a brother of James, he says, I'm writing to all who have, listen, been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. So what this verse is saying here, again, is that we've been called by God the Father, and we have been loved, who loves us. So in essence, this verse is telling us that we have been called. The primary calling of our life is not something that we do. The primary calling of our life is something that we experience. We have been called and created to be loved by God, to be loved by Him. I like the Amplified Version in 1 John 3:1. It says, what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are. Listen, your primary purpose in life, I want you to get this. I want this to sink in, because we talk so much about God's purpose and what God wants us to do. But even before what God wants us to do, it's what God wants us to experience, and we need to allow Him and let Him love us and experience His love. First calling in our life, called into relationship with God, called to be loved by God, to be His sons and daughters. Now, I said a moment ago, we know this, I think, in our minds. And I know when I talk about God's love and maybe in these terms, I can sense maybe a difficulty from it going from here to really experiencing it in our hearts. I can see your faces, because I really believe there would be incredible transformation in our lives if we could live our lives every moment fully believing that we are loved and accepted by God. I mean, what would change in our life on a daily basis if we lived there? And I really believe that's the reason why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 prayed a very powerful prayer about God's love. He said, I want you to understand it, but more than understand God's love, more than just have it right here in our minds, I want you to feel it, and I want you to experience it on a daily basis in your life to really know. And so he said that you prayed this prayer we're going to look at, that you will experience God's love, have the power to experience God's love. And this is my prayer for us today as a church, that you'll just not know it mentally. You've heard it a million times, but there will be something that begins to change in our heart, because in a new and a fresh way, you just see yourself as an object of God's love. Your primary purpose is to allow this good, gracious Creator God to love you, because that's what He created you for. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll look at this, and we're going to take a moment to unpackage this verse. He says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart. In other words, you'll be just more, Christ will be more comfortable. You'll be more comfortable living with Jesus in your heart. You know, when somebody comes to your house, you say these words, you know, maybe you say these words, but you say, hey, make yourself at home, right? And that's just say, hey, make yourself, may Jesus become more and more at home in our hearts. As you trust in Him, may your roots grow down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love. Listen, you need roots. You need a foundation in your life. Listen, any tree that's got a chance of survival has got to have a strong root system. You need roots in your life, and the root system that you need is a root system that is deep down in the marvelous soil, or the soil of God's marvelous love. You need to be rooted in God's love. And then he says this amazing, amazing thing. And may you have the power, here it is, to understand. Power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. And may you experience the love of Christ. May you have the power to know it. And may you experience the love of Christ, even though it's so great that you'll never fully be able to understand it. I want you to fill in a few things about God's love on your outline here. Number one is simply this: how wide is God's love? I want you to write this in. It's wide enough to be everywhere. There is no place in this world, there's no place in this universe, and there's no place that you can go that God's love is not there, and God's love will not meet you there. Amen? Now, you may say, I don't see God's love, or I don't even feel God's love. Does that mean God's love is not there? Absolutely not. You know, right now in this room, there are radio waves that are going all through this room and all through your body even. You can't see them. But does it mean that those radio waves are not there? No, not at all. They are there, and what you need is something that can receive those radio waves. If you tune into the right channel, you'll pick up those radio waves right away. Just because you don't know God's love or can't may possibly see or even feel the love of God, it doesn't mean it's not there. How wide is God's love? It's wide enough to be everywhere. God's love is in the bar where people are getting drunk. God's love is in a back alley where a drug deal is going on. God's love is in a living room where somebody's putting a needle in their arm. God's love is in the place, the deepest, darkest place that you can imagine. God's love is there. And there's nowhere and there's no place that God's love is not. And that means there's nowhere and no place that you can be or that you can go that you cannot experience this amazing love. You may feel lonely, but you're not alone because God's love is there. How wide is it? Take a look at the next one. How long? It's long enough to last forever. I love this. God's love is long enough to last forever. Human love is short term, isn't it? Human love is conditional. Human love doesn't last that long, but I want to tell you something about God's love. It's long enough to last forever. I was reading 1 Corinthians 13 in that beautiful chapter about God's love, and verse 4 through 7, it explains all of the qualities of love. And we read those verses a lot of times in a wedding ceremony. And love is patient and love is kind. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't keep any record of wrong. It always believes those beautiful qualities of love. And I'll be honest with you, when I read those qualities, it's love is patient. Okay, I could be patient for a while, but sooner or later, my patience runs out. I'll just be honest. I can be kind, and I can be kind for a while, but sooner or later, my kindness runs out. I can do the don't keep a record of wrong, but sometimes enough is enough, and it's hard for me not to keep a record of wrong. Anybody with me on that? Why? Because my love runs out, and your love runs out as well. But here's the thing about God's love. It's long enough to last forever. His love never runs out, and there is an endless supply. Since God is love, you can just say this: my heavenly Father is patient. My God, my heavenly Father is kind. My heavenly Father, he's not rude, and he's not self-seeking. My heavenly Father keeps no record of wrong. My heavenly Father always believes the best about me. Why? Because God is love. And his love lasts. It's wide enough to be everywhere, long enough to last forever. Number three, it's deep enough to handle anything. Somebody here needs to hear this today. God's love is deep enough. You may feel like you are sinking in the pit of despair right now. You may feel like you are in the deepest, darkest place of your life. I want to tell you something. God's love is deeper still. There is no problem. There is no pain. There is no uncertainty that you can face, that you will face tomorrow, that God's love is not deep enough to meet you there. His love can handle any problem. His love can handle any pain. His love can handle any circumstance that you may find yourself in. His love is deeper still. It's wide, it's long, it's deep. Number four is this: it's high enough. And I love this. God's love is high enough to overlook my sin. Aren't you glad for that? How high is God's love? because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and taken the penalty that we deserve. And when we receive that gift and we are in Christ, God's love is high enough to overlook our sin. He is a God who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't rub it in, He rubs it out. And through Christ, He overlooks our sin. There's not a sin that you can commit that God's blood and God's love is not deep enough yet to offer forgiveness completely and totally for our lives. Amen to that? God's love overlooks our sin. God's love heals our hearts. God's love removes the guilt, the shame in our lives. When we blow it, God says, I will offer forgiveness and cleansing. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes sin from our lives. Again, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is very important. Forgiveness and justification is the kind of a legal term that says the written record of sin against you has been cleared and has been wiped clean. God says not guilty. But not only that, but when we come in Christ, God says, I offer you cleansing in this process of reconciliation where we are put in right or made to be in right relationship with God. It's an amazing thing, not only forgiveness, the slate is washed clean, but He offers cleansing, which is a process of reconciliation and being put back in right relationship with God. Aren't you glad for the complete and total forgiveness that God offers? How long, how high, how wide, how deep is the love of God? May you, as Paul prayed, not only understand this, but may you have power to fully, totally, and completely experience this in your life. Can I ask you a question today? Again, I think a lot of us have it up here, but has it really transformed our lives? Have we really experienced that love? And that's what I'm praying for, the Holy Spirit's power in your life. To have a new sense of, I am just loved by God. Listen, what would change in your life? How would your life change if you lived every moment of every day understanding and experiencing that you are completely loved and totally accepted by God? How would that change your life? How would that change how you approach life? Well, I can think of a million ways probably that our lives would change if we really and truly experienced and believed that in our life. But on your outline, I have five things that I want to show you. Five ways, what changes if we stay continually aware of God's constant love for me. I want you to write these five things down. These are really important. Number one would be this: I feel accepted rather than ashamed. Number one would be I would feel accepted rather than ashamed. I think most people go through their lives avoiding life, avoiding God. And the reason why they avoid God is because they're ashamed. They feel ashamed. They feel guilt. They feel under condemnation. They feel judged. They feel criticized. They think God is a perfect God and I'm not so perfect. Why in the world would I want to hang out with a God who is perfect, who simply wants to remind me of all the mistakes and all the failures in my life? And so many people avoid God because of shame, and they go through their life avoiding God. But I want to remind you that Jesus said these words, that the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Romans 8 tells us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in Christ. I love what Romans tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God, and now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with Him. We have been made acceptable by God. I want you to understand today, and can you grasp this today, that you are not only completely forgiven and totally loved, but you are in Christ fully acceptable and fully accepted by God. Your acceptance to God is not based on your performance. You cannot perform your way out of being accepted by God or perform your way into being accepted by God. I want you to understand that the Bible says in Christ we are made acceptable. And what that simply means is that we one time were outside of Christ. The Bible says objects of God's wrath. We are enemies of God. That's hard to grasp, but God says this is who we are in our sin. But when we come to faith in Christ, God not only removes the list of all of our sin and forgives it completely, but he does something else. He moves us into Christ. And when we are in Christ, we are totally and completely, once and for all, acceptable to God. And there's nothing that we can do to get us out of that acceptance or try to gain that acceptance. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You realize today that you are completely acceptable to God through Christ. And it's based upon what he has done and not what we do. There is a security that comes into our life to know that we are completely accepted by him. Now, does that mean that we do some things that God does not approve of? Certainly. Does it mean we live a perfect life? Absolutely not. Each day we need forgiveness. Each day we need to confess sin. And there are things that God doesn't approve that we can do, and that is called sin. But as soon as that happens, we confess that. But it doesn't take us out of our acceptability to God, because that has been accomplished through Christ. Amen? You understand that? This is a powerful thing to understand how completely and totally, utterly and unconditionally loved and accepted we are to God. Now, this is so important in our lives, because I really think that this, you know, we spend a lot of our lives trying to win the approval of other people. We spend a lot of our lives as approval addicts, trying to behave in a way that wins other people's approval. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, it's sometimes hard to admit. But we live a lot of our lives trying to win the approval of people, trying to be okay and trying to be made acceptable and trying to look right and trying to do right and trying to be right just so that we can be accepted by others. If we're really honest, there's a lot of approval addict in all of us, and a lot of that is just simply based on an insecurity that we have in our life. But when we fully understand how loved and accepted we are by God and in Christ, that God completely and totally loves us and accepts us, that brings a deep-rooted security in our life that's rooted in God's love, that sets us free from that addiction to approval that we have in our lives. God's love is an amazing thing. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. Number two, I am bold in bringing my needs to God. How would your life change if we understood that we are completely and totally loved by God? I believe we would have a new boldness when we approach God. I'm bold in my prayers because I'm a son, or you're a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of God's family. So I know that God loves me unconditionally. And when I pray to him, I could talk to him about anything because I am a child of God. There's verses in scripture that talk so much about this. We who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. Now, the word there in the other translation is Abba, Father. Abba is a term that means daddy, God. In other words, just like a child would enter into his dad's arms, say, daddy, daddy. Just like my kids run to me and say, dad or daddy. This is the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, because we are God's children. You know, my kids, when they were younger, some of them are still younger, they'd run to me and ask me for something and ask me for money or ask me to do something for them. And I just could see when they asked me, they thought I can do anything, and they thought I could afford anything. Can I have this? Can I have that? Can you do this? I'm like, I'm not Superman, you know? But they thought I could do anything and had resources for anything. But our Heavenly Father can do anything and has the resources for everything. And I do love when my kids come to ask me for things. Like, my kids do not come to me and say, thou dearest Father, progenitor of the Horn family, thou caretaker of thy funds of thy family, most generous and loving Father, would thou forth give me some cash? My kids have not done that recently. It's pretty much like this. Dad, I need cash. I need some money. I need money, and I need it now. And my response is normally, well, there's a money tree in our backyard. Feel free to take a 20 off of that. Now, I try to provide the best I can. Now, they obviously know that, you know, there's a limit and there's, you know, and... But here's the thing. When we come to our Heavenly Father, I know we can laugh about it, but we have access to God. We can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. Sure, we reverence Him and respect Him for who He is. He's our loving Heavenly Father, Almighty God, consuming fire. But yet, as children of God, we have access to the very presence of God because we are loved by Him and we are His children and He loves us so much and we can come into His presence through Christ. I didn't see the movie Lincoln about the story of Abraham Lincoln, but I was talking to somebody. I said, what did you like about that movie? And they said, well, there's a lot, you know, just seeing Abraham Lincoln and how he interacted. They said, the thing I love the most is no matter who he was talking to in his office, it could be the State Department, a dignitary, somebody very, very important, whoever it was that Abraham Lincoln was talking to in his office, his son, I think his name was Tad or maybe a name like that, he could run into his dad's office anytime, no matter who he was talking to, jump on his dad's lap and pretty much have his way and do what he wanted. Just, he had instant access into his father, no matter who was with him. And the guy I was talking to said, that's the thing that just got my attention. Is, wow, look at this. And I want to tell you, we have that same access to God our Father. And I want to tell you what changes in my life when I really sit under this waterfall of God's love and just know that I'm accepted, that I am His child, that I can be asked boldly as His child, and I can come in to His presence. Look at this verse in Hebrews, I think we have it. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy to find grace to help us in our time of need. Do you see that? You're a child of God. You are unconditionally, irrevocably loved by your Heavenly Father. And He says, come boldly and come confidently into my throne room of grace. Not like a cowering, fearful slave. Oh God, I don't know if I can. I don't know if you want to. No, we can come with boldness. This is not arrogance, but this is just confidence in who we are in Christ, understanding our identity and who God says that we are. Let's move on. Number three, I have a peace and pain I don't understand. I want to talk about this for a few moments. When you know, when you really know that you are loved by God, what this provides for your life is a peace that passes understanding in the pain that you're going through in life. Listen, life is filled with pain. Life is filled with problems. I don't have to say that. Many of you are walking through dark valleys, have walked through dark valleys, have experienced enough pain this last month to last several lifetimes. You understand pain, and I know that there's pain and there's problems. And just because you follow Christ or are a Christian doesn't mean that you are exempt from pain in this life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. In other words, in this world there's trouble of its own, but if you're a follower of Christ, that means that you could have double trouble. But He says, I've overcome the world. And sometimes, I want to make this clear, when we experience pain, problems in our life, I want to say this clearly, sensitively though, God does not owe us an explanation because He's God and we're not. And we may never get that explanation. Actually, sometimes an explanation won't help. Even if you knew why something happened or why this was going on in your life, having the clear explanation of that, probably not going to help. What you need in that moment is presence, and you need God's presence. And when you understand how deeply loved and accepted and forgiven and pleasing in Christ you are to God and how much He loves you, what you can be guaranteed every single time, 100%, is a perfect peace of God that passes all understanding in your life. No matter what you're going through, I don't know what your future holds. I don't know what my future holds. I don't know what problems or pain are out there in the future. I really don't know. I believe I'm going to live a blessed life, and God is going to bless my children, bless my future. But the reality is, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't read into that future. I don't know. I don't. But what I do know for sure is that no matter where I go, God's love is deep enough to meet me there. And no matter what pain, no matter what problem, no matter what we go through, no matter what I go through, I can have a peace that passes all understanding because the presence of God, the God who loves me and is with me, and His presence will give me peace. Amen. We know this in Philippians, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Number four, or let me read Romans 8, and we know that all things work together We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, number four, I want you to write this in. I gain the courage to take risks. Maybe you never thought of this, but when you know that you are loved, when you know that you are believed in, doesn't that give you courage to do something that you thought you couldn't do? When somebody that loves you believes in you, something happens in your heart. All of a sudden, you have courage to do what you thought you couldn't do. Listen, there's been moments where I have lost courage, and the only person that probably knew I was waning in my courage would be Jamie. And there's a certain look that she can give me when we meet eyes, and that look is telling me, I believe in you. I believe in you. And it's amazing when you are believed in, what can happen in your life and the things that you can do. And part of God's incredible, marvelous, deep, wide, high love is that he believes in you. You're his child. He believes in you. He believes in the purpose, the calling. Number one, yes, to be an object of his love. Number one, solely. But from that springs so much purpose for your life and vision and dream that God has. And God believes in you. I'm going to show you a video clip here in just a second. I think we're going to have it queued up here. A little boy named Malachi Paul on Britain's Got Talent. I'm not sure if you ever watched that show, A Talent. Just set it up for you here. Little boy, nine years old maybe, gets up there to sing, and he has a breakdown. He just freezes with stage fright. But his mom is off to the side stage. And we're going to show you what happens here and how powerful it is to know that when you were believed in, loved and believed in, what that does for your life. Now, I'm going to warn you, just grab some Kleenex. You're going to need it for this, okay? You know, the next verse on your outline, we're going to have our worship team come back to at this time. The next verse on your outline says, perfect love expels all fear. When we are loved by God and understand that love and experience that love, it expels fear in our life, and it gives us courage to be the people that God has called us to be. And sometimes as I look at that video, I watched it a few times, I just feel like God maybe wants to come onto the stage of our life, the stage of your life, and just wrap his big arms around you and swallow you up in his love and his hug to say, I love you, I accept you, you are my child, I believe in you. And that love gives us courage to carry on and be everything that God has called us to be. The last one on your outline is this, and you can write this in, and I won't say too much, is I worship instead of worry. You know, when we worry, and I'm as guilty as you are, but when we worry, it's kind of like we forget that we belong to God, you know? We believe the lie that we're in this all by ourselves, and we're alone. When we worry, we think it's all on our shoulders, and it's not. And when I really understand and fully experience the love of God, I begin to worship instead of worry. I just say, God, I'm not in this alone. You're with me. Your love surrounds me. The thing I can count on every single second of my life is your love. So, God, I choose to worship you and not worry. And it's amazing what happens when we make that conscious choice. And remember that we're loved by God. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? I just want to give a moment. I know I've taken some time to say some things today. But could you just allow yourself to be loved by God? Don't try to perform your way into a relationship with him. Don't try to work for something. Just say, God, the simple truth is I'm breathing, I'm alive, I'm created by you. If I believe your word, God, it says you knew I was going to be here long before the universe was created, and you created me for the very reason and purpose just to be loved by you. That's number one. And can you just in these few moments right now allow yourself to be loved by your Heavenly Father? Reach out your arms to him like you're jumping into your daddy's arms when you were a little boy or little girl. And let him put his arms of love around you. He loved you so much. He gave his son Jesus to die for our sins. We confess our sin. We confess our need. We come to him for grace and forgiveness through Christ. Just allow him to love you today in these moments as we worship and as we sing together.